Can I ask a meeting of the administration council will come to order, and the clerk will note the attendance. And the first thing on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the last meeting, if I could have a motion to do that.
So move.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign, motion carries, minutes are adopted. So we have the entire time period here for us to talk and discuss and all, and there's no reason that we leave. It's not one of those Parkinson kind of rules that clock will expand to fill the time allotted, you know? We don't need to follow that rule. But we do have it here, and things together to date. So let us begin. There are, you have the draft of the report that was sent out to the committee, and then optional provisions, which, as we talked about last time, were just ideas that we thought we wanted to do, and put those into some kind of language, at least as a starting point, sort of a placeholder. And I know there's one or two amendments that people may want to offer now. And I don't know if we should just go right through them 1 through 5 on these options. Some of these may have been taken care of in the report, actually, I think. And let's start with those and just talk about them for a minute first, and then we can see where we go. The option one here said that salary ranges should continue to be adjusted annually for inflation, and I believe that is now in the draft report under, on page 5, section 2, there the last sentence. Just what I think we all intended. We should talk about that and see if anybody has anything else to say about it, or probably get a. Well, we can cover that when we adopt the report, since it's in there now. So everybody, can you follow the paperwork here in the paper trail now? I think the handiest sheet will probably be this. Optional provision sheet to keep handy, and then the report. We can go back and forth as needed. So, any discussion about the annual adjustments? Following my rule about we don't need to spend the time talking about it, if we're all in agreement, we'll move on to number 2, which is require MMB to conduct an evaluation, examining, as we did, their equity of compensating the chair of the MAC while compensating the other members through $50. Whether or not that makes sense, I guess, is what we're really trying to say as we talked about that. And Ms. Janicek, I think you had some interest in that or thoughts about it. Kind of,
I support this, and I think it's well drafted. I'll support it.
Mr. Chairman, so does this mean that the others get $50 a day? I know there was some skepticism about what they were doing when they were working from home. So is that the cap?
This is for the Metropolitan Airports Commission.
Not
which
the Public Utilities Commission.
Okay.
That was, remember, there was quite a bit of that there.
Sorry.
And there was just, I view this as, let me just read the language here. Conducting the ballot to examine the equity of compensating. Yeah, I guess that does it. A pretty general view of what's going on at the MAC in terms of compensation. And have their MMB is the agency state to do it. And that one, I think we really did talk about. There's some language in the minutes that we did talk about the MAC. Thing before, and it was generally approved. So can we have a motion then to add option 2 to the report with appropriate language if we need to play around with the language?
So moved.
Second.
Any further discussion on that? not, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Option two is adopted.
Oh, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Staff's a little bit derelict here because we've got one member participating by phone. Under the open meeting law, we should be doing roll calls.
That's right.
It was only this staff that was derelict. Sally knew it all along.
I thought this was going pretty smoothly. All right, let's have on the last motion about the MAC study. Clerk will take the roll.
Chair Berg.
Aye.
Ask.
Aye.
Adewale.
Brown.
Aye.
Dahlquist.
Aye.
Deckard.
Aye.
Stevenson.
Aye.
Fox.
Aye.
Janicek.
Aye.
Ludwig.
Aye.
Casillas. Meyerson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Robbins.
Aye.
Sharma and Swanson. Twelve ayes.
Motion prevailed, sorry. Then the next one is require that MMB conduct an evaluation to examine the, this is the PUC amendment. This is what Mr. Meyerson, you were wondering about. Should receive a stipend or higher compensation. Again, we had a significant discussion about that. Comments or discussion on that proposal?
Well, if we want to...
We can change the wording here, too.
Well, I thought the concern was about the others rather than the chair. Wasn't Sarah...
I'm confused about this one, too. I don't remember us talking about the chair.
I was.
Oh, okay.
I raised the question when the chair of the PUC was here. I don't have a great deal of commitment to the idea, since she didn't seem to suggest that it was necessary. I saw in the information provided today there were some chairs that received more than other commissioners in other states, but it doesn't seem to be an overwhelming thing. And there seems to be room within the salary structure as it is that the governor could simply do that.
Right. Any other comments about that or questions or suggestions?
Well, we all know where I'm coming from. I think they're overpaid and they just got that huge salary, so I would not support this.
Okay, there's no motion on the floor to put it in the report. That's what it would take. If somebody wants to do it, we would need a motion to do that. And if there is no motion, it will not go in the report. Hearing none and following my rule, that we'll move along and option three will
option four.
In the report, and we'll move on to option four. And this is the one that talks about having MMB, because they're the relevant agency, but have them contract with an independent consultant. Because I raised the question with Greg when we saw the draft here about, it just seemed to me that the MMB should not be evaluating the salaries of the other people, many of whom may be running against the governor in various times and various party configurations. And also that's why the addition of an independent consultant to do that study was inserted there. But we talked about that, and again, I don't know if we want to do that or not, but it is before you.
Well, I like the idea of raising the issue. I don't, not so hot on the independent consultant, but if somebody makes the motion, I'll vote for it, because I think that we should raise the issue of the duties, and that needs to be addressed.
Well, Mr. Chair, I agree that it should be done. By whom, I think, is an issue we could leave up to the legislature and simply say the legislature should conduct an evaluation, and they can do it however they want to do it.
Probably want us to have the independent, just use the term independent evaluation.
Okay. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I will move that then, because I think I'm the one that brought this up last time. So it would read, "The legislature should conduct an independent evaluation to determine if the current salary structure of the other constitutional officers in relation to that of the governor reflects the duties of their respective offices."
Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion?
Yeah, I'm wondering if this is specific enough, because what we were getting after is that, you know, maybe the order of compensation should be changed. You know, maybe the Secretary of State ought to be moved up the ladder and somebody else moved down. So if we pass the resolution as stated, is that clear enough that that's what we were getting at?
I think the insertion of "and each other" does get to your point, which I think is very valid.
Yeah, that last part, there's the new language here, "and each other," may well cover what...
Yes, I'm sorry.
And the legislature has a pretty good way of doing what they want to do once they get into the topic anyway. So, I think this is...
I agree with that. I was reading off the wrong sheet.
Okay.
Yep.
So any other discussions on the motion to insert that?
So, I'm sorry. It now reads that...
Let me just read it. "The legislature should conduct an independent evaluation to determine if the current salary structure of the other constitutional officers in relationship to that of the governor and each other reflects the duties of their respective offices." Any further discussion? If not, clerk will call a roll.
Chair Burke.
Aye.
Ask.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Dahlquist.
Aye.
Deckard?
Aye.
Stevenson?
Aye.
Fox?
Aye.
Janicek?
Aye.
Ludwig?
Aye.
Meyerson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Robbins?
Aye.
Sharma?
Otherwise. Motion is adopted. That will be inserted in the other recommendation section. And then we'll move down to option 5. Which is talks about the compensation of local government employees. Here I know we have some discussion coming up. Mr. Robbins has been working on this, and along with Mr. Hubinger, they've been communicating back and forth trying to get this in appropriate form to offer as an amendment. And why don't I just, Mr. Robbins?
Well, I haven't really tried to amend it. I oppose it. Strongly. We have for about 11 years had a adjusted law. It's well summarized by the League of Minnesota Cities. It involves an awful lot of intricacy. It does provide for a waiver system, which generally when a local unit comes with a waiver, two-thirds of the time roughly they do get the waiver. We just haven't studied this issue as a council, and I'm extremely uncomfortable with us weighing in. We have no local government association asking us to change it. They would be the ones logically to do it. My experience as a legislative staffer, I just watched an awful lot of talent go to the counties and the cities, and I never see them coming the other way. So I'm exceedingly uncomfortable, and I know Superintendent Brown did bring up the termination issues, and that's related to school districts. Now, superintendents aren't under this law. That's one area of real concern. So they pretty much can have their salary as they wish, but I'm not going to speak for Superintendent Brown, but he's worried about the golden parachutes, so that's sort of opposite of what we're getting at with option 5. So that's how I feel about it.
Any other discussion or any motions to include it? Otherwise, it will not be included.
How onerous is the exception, the waiver?
I don't have experience with how it even, how it's set up for the waiver process. I looked at a 2013 AP analysis. They're able to get Freedom of Information Act information, and although it wouldn't be a complete listing from the end of 2013, there were 140 city county officials that exceeded the governor's salary, and the information in that article was where I got the indication that it's close to two-thirds that received the waiver, but I don't know how it's done.
Well, let me just ask in more specific. Do they apply for the waiver before they have a recruiting issue, or after a person is in office? Don't know.
Mr. Hubinger, can you shed any light on this general topic?
So, one of my roles is to staff the Subcommittee on Employee Relations, yeah, which under this statute for the waivers has to review any recommendation by the commissioner to grant a waiver. Our subcommittee maintains that list that some of you have copies of. What that list does not include are those waivers that have been requested that have been turned down by the commissioner without consulting with the subcommittee. So there may be a fair number of other waivers sought that have not been approved. So this is a universal list of all of those that have been considered. My understanding is that local governments have a mixed experience. They sometimes wait until they have a vacancy, run through a recruitment effort and fail, and they realize that compensation is one issue. Others, they realize that they have someone on staff who's either terminating or retiring, and they're anticipating, and then they'll seek in advance.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, I agree this is a highly fraught issue, and it doesn't fit squarely within what we're doing. If we were going to make a recommendation on this issue, it would seem it would be better for us to recommend that the legislature study alternative methods to tying salaries to the governor. And I think the fact that state employees flow to the counties is really a critique of the state system, not so much the counties. I mean, I don't think there's, well, I suppose you can take the view that the counties are just paying too much, but I don't know what that's based on, and they've gone through their own political and economic and other analyses to figure out what the salaries should be. So, but I would say if we're going to do it, I don't feel strongly about it either way, we should do it as a recommendation for a study.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Marison.
I think I would have to abstain because I just don't know enough about this, and we haven't heard from the other side, you know, from the counties, the cities, what have you.
There's no motion to bring it before us, so maybe we've had enough discussion about this. Everybody's had the opportunity to speak is what I want to make sure. And they have, so that will not be in the report.
Mr. Chair, can I just make one note on number two? I believe the per diem amount should be 55. Is it different for MAC than the other? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so never mind. Never mind.
Why is it different?
Well, that's another question. Yeah.
That's a deep question.
Yeah, right.
Other proposals or ideas that any members of the council wish to discuss? Bring them all.
Six figures. Mr. Chairman, I think that six-figure salaries for the compensation council are in order.
Retroactive.
Yeah, retroactive.
For a whopping 3 or 4 month term.
In the immortal words of Dr. Jim Fox, when I talked to him on the phone with him, he said, on April 1st, there will be a poof and a puff of smoke, and we will be abolished. We will disappear into there forever.
I do have a quick question, and it isn't one that I want to have us not do optional provisions, but I can't help but be curious about the proceedings of the Salary Council and the dissent by Mr. Boyle regarding Attorney General advisory opinion regarding whether we have the right, or in their case, their right to offer a optional recommendation. Could you just summarize that opinion, Mr. Hubinger?
Yes, I think I don't want to go down to a long path about the legislative's salary council permission, but I think it's appropriate so we understand how that works. And
just briefly, what that opinion was, so that we're aware of it.
Mr. Chair and Mr. Robbins, the salary council, because it was new, had an attorney assigned to it by the Attorney General's office. And she provided advice throughout the work of that group. She was asked whether the salary council had the authority to make recommendations to the legislature other than setting its narrow responsibility to set the salaries for legislators. And she did not issue a legal opinion, but she did give advice that a council or a commission could certainly provide advice. It should understand that that advice might be ignored or adopted or modified.
Are you done?
Oh, yeah. Mr. Meyerson?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. I'd like to propose something a little radical, and that is in the context of having our recommendations understood that we are not just spending money, but we're maybe also interested in saving money. I would like to recommend that the legislature consider abolishing the office of lieutenant governor, who, to my mind, doesn't do much, and to replace that with some kind of succession plan where one of the other constitutional officers, or perhaps the head of the House or the Senate Majority Leader, would succeed to the governorship. In the case that the governor becomes incapacitated,
you're right. That is kind of a radical proposal for our salary council here. But let's talk about it. That's a fair game. You're certainly entitled to raise that, and we'll talk about it. Results.
Well, just as with the local salaries issue, we don't have any information except opinions based on whatever we read in the newspaper about the lieutenant governor's activities to really go down that road. So I would not favor that motion.
Other comments on it? You can make that in the form of a motion if you wish, and we can have a vote on it, or we can have some more discussion about it, whatever you wish.
Or you could recommend studying it.
You know, if I make it as a recommendation as opposed to a study, then maybe it brings the question, it gives it a little more prominence. Mm. I agree with you that, we probably don't understand all the ramifications, but I noticed in the letter that was being sent, it says the lieutenant governor handles a variety of functions, like cutting cake, or what does the lieutenant governor do?
Well, the lieutenant governor can do obviously a variety of functions, and includes cutting cake, and it includes being the lead negotiator over several billion dollars worth of bonding and other things, depending how the governor wishes to use his or her lieutenant. So it can be all over the place. One thought just occurred to me that I have about this type of recommendation now is, I think we've done a pretty thoughtful and careful job of what we've done, and hopefully will be well received by the legislature. And I think we should be cautious about putting something in there that would give someone ammunition to say this whole council was a strange group of people, sort of thing. That's at least some kind of paying attention to the political winds in the broadest sense here, I think, may be in order. So that's just something to think about. But then, Ms. Jennison?
I was going to say the same thing, but you said it much more eloquently, Mr. Chairman. And I would add that I think it's within the governor's purview. It's part of whether that person is elected or reelected, what the lieutenant governor does. In my experience, we've had lieutenant governors all over the map, mm-hmm. and both sides of the aisle in terms of what they do. I would hate to dilute the value of what we're doing, given if we'll be lucky if we even get recognized. That I agree with Mr. Chairman that we should just let it be.
I think those are very good points.
All right. Not hearing a motion. Any other thoughts, comments, or motions that people want to make? And if not, I think we could have a motion to adopt our report. Anything else procedurally that we would need to do?
Chair, part of a frequently standard motion is to authorize the chair to make technical corrections as we're finalizing that report.
I believe we are going to move on to the report itself, right? Because we just went through the optional
provisions. Correct. Yep. So if you have comments on the report itself, we didn't hear the options, let's talk about that.
Yes, I have an amendment regarding the optional recommendation on the percentages based on if the governor is raised to $150,000. It's a relatively minor recommendation. It's simply to factor in the inflation into each group between January 1, 2017 and January 1, 2019, when that salary would take place. So it's a minor percentage change, group 1 to 120, group 2 to 108, and group 3 to 22% of the salary of the governor. And then I ask that we, for every 2 years that we don't have a readjustment, we would readjust the range based on the CPI, which is what we do now. I just think that if we had known exactly what we were doing at the last meeting, that's what I think we intended to do, not to create a two-year freeze.
Well, first of all, can you and Mr. Hubinger go back and forth a little bit and explain to us the draft report has got group 1 at 115, group 2 104, group 3 21%, and there's a couple of 3 percentage point differences in each one. How we got there and why and which one is more accurate?
I'm not sure I follow that.
I know, Mr. Brown, you were one working your calculator over there, and we were doing this too. So, anybody can shed any light on that, I think it would be helpful.
I was working off of the Mr. Weeks's memo indicating what the salary range was. I believe from January 29th, we had a memo from House Research.
Mr. Hubinger, can you give us something to shed a little light here on this?
Mr. Chair and members, the language that's in your draft report is based on staff's understanding of the discussion of your council, where the idea was to increase the governor's salary to $150,000, but for the agency head salary range maximum to keep that dollar amount the same. And so Mr. Brown did some calculations that would result in that outcome, and the percentages that you see there keep the maximum of those three agency head groupings the same as they are currently. And other language in the report indicates the council's intention that those ranges be continue to be modified by inflation over time.
So isn't that what you want to do, Mr. Robbins?
Yeah, but I believe the calculations, again, based on, maybe we'll just have to show what the calculations are, but Mr. Weeks had said as of January 1, 2017, Group 1 would be 172,463, and then Group 2 is 155,605, and Group 3 was, I don't have the number in front, 21,907. So if you calculate that and then those numbers and then apply the what I would be a best guess inflation factor, which is 2.2, which it's been at for the last 15 months or so, although I think it will go up between now and 19, so that when you do a corrected, that would work out to 4.45 as an inflator, because it compounds yearly.
Mr. Chair, it seems to me that we don't actually need precision on this percentage. I agree with Mr. Robbins' recommendation on the percentages. I don't think that does any harm.
It just
allows some flexibility. So I think in that sentence before the salaries, we would want to say the salary range maximums for heads of state. Is that correct, Greg, that those are maximums? I think we need to say that.
We have here, Mr. Hoopinger has some kind of a comparison of the, between Mr. Robbins' amendment and the draft report.
Richardson's going to get a
small dollar amount differences, but some.
No, it's the salary range.
Take a look at that. And then
figure out the range is.
That's the bottom.
Yes, I see a conflict between our option one here. It says go ahead and move it ahead with inflation, and then item two in the report. They seem to be conflicting. If you don't adopt number one, then you're always adjusting this percentage. Why continually adjust the percentage if you just adjust by a CPU? Why do we have that linkage in the report?
It's what they've done historically, and I think we philosophically have said we don't want it tied strictly if the governor's salary is frozen. So it is the question of...
I agree. I don't think it should be tied if the governor's salary is frozen, but this continually ties it that way, doesn't it? Even if you adjust these percentages, it's always tied to the governor's salary. It's kind of like smoke and mirrors every 2 years. Why wouldn't we just eliminate the linkage and then leave it up to a CPU adjustment?
I'm open to it. I just am going by what we did last time,
right.
And it was a little hard to follow, I have to admit, on the tape delayed system.
It frankly was a little hard to follow right here in this.
No, I listened to it twice afterwards,
but we're trying to make sure we got it right now. Do you have some suggested language here?
I have some. Well,
look at and maybe before we go there, look at this table. Then Mr. Hoopinger passed out, and do you want to explain that a little bit?
So, Mr. Chair and members, the first column shows the governor's current salary at 127, and then shows the current salary range maximum for Group 1, which is 135% at $172,000, group two at $155,000, and $31,900, which is 25%. That shows the effects of MMB adjusting the range maximum by inflation. The middle column is what is reflected in the council's draft report and sets the dollar at 172.463 at what it is currently, and then works backward to figure out what that percentage is, and it is reduced to 115%. And then retains the current salary range maximum for group two at 155.6 and reduces that percentage to 104, reflecting the fact that it's being compared to the governor's salary. That's now 150,000. And the same for group three. The salary range maximum is kept constant at 31.9. And when you compare that to the governor's salary at 150, that's now 21%. The third column is Mr. Robbins' alternative approach, which is to adjust the current salaries by inflation, current range maximums by inflation, and it comes out to slightly higher numbers than what is in the draft report.
It would be the 4.45%, but I have no problem with Dr. Fox, and I would view it as a friendly amendment, then none of those percentages matter because we're just saying we believe that those ranges should be adjusted based on inflation. Is that correct?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, if you took this out for another 10 years, you'd keep adjusting this percentage. What's the percentage mean? It doesn't have any meaning at that point. So, I'll agree with that amendment.
And I do think it makes sense to do it every 2 years. This isn't their actual salaries. It's in accordance with the biennial budgeting, and you just do it every 2 years.
I think I've lost track of what you're saying we should be doing then.
Okay.
Are we untying?
Yeah, okay. So right now you've got a linkage to the governor's salary,
right,
and that
right.
probably made sense at some point in time. But we've made a recommendation to adjust the governor's salary. Well, I suppose we expect that will not be adjusted every 2 years. I mean, if you just look historically. So, but there's a provision here that we ask that the salary ranges of the department heads be adjusted by a rate of inflation.
Right.
Well, if those are moving up at a rate of inflation right. and the governor's salary is stable, all we're doing is readjusting these percentages every 2 years.
Right.
So what's the percent? What's the purpose of the percentage?
I agree with that.
And, you know, it doesn't come out exactly in my column. It'll be a few dollars, very minimally different, but it'll be more precise because we're not adjusting it to a rounding to the nearest percent when you do it. It just causes confusion, I think.
So we would need to do that, and I think I didn't understand where you're going with that. We would just need to change the language in our report that the so it now says in the report
it says that
just put the period.
The effect
of the 19
includes
I see.
No, you still have to.
So then we do need some kind of language if we want to do that, at least similar to Mr. Robbins' last sentence here, correct?
Yeah, I think the best way to do it would be the starting after the comma with 2019, just make it the group 1, 2, and 3 agency head salary ranges shall be adjusted based on the CPIU inflation factor, and I would prefer every 2 years. Would add every 2 years.
All right. But you're not going to change the first line then?
Everything.
The governor's salary being increased?
Everything else you would remove. This would be agency head salary ranges would be the title, and everything between that and I'll repeat the sentence although it really should be, it's Dr. Fox's idea, he should be moving it. The Group 1, 2, and 3 agency head salary ranges shall be adjusted based on the CPIU inflation factor every 2 years.
Mr. Brown, any comments on, you were, we weighed in on that before.
I just wonder, would it be easier just to put an inflationary factor on the governor's salary? No. And everything else moves?
Well, we talked about that briefly.
It would be easier, but it would be a political issue.
I think that's spiraling into in immediate defeat.
Okay. I don't disagree.
But should but we...
Mathematically, it'd be
yes,
easier.
Sure, of okay. course. It's... Would be
but
better,
should
yes.
we add a sentence saying we're recommending that the agency head salaries be decoupled from the governor? So the council recommends yeah. that agency head salary ranges be determined separately.
I would put
from,
that first.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Mr. Chair, that's
Mr. Ludwig.
Members, that's what I thought. That we should be clear that we're decoupling, not just make a statement about the inflation. We need a statement, because that's the major change.
Right.
It's already tied to inflation, is that we're going to decouple it. And I am not certain how to frame that, but that it begins from its current level, now the current levels of
those ranges.
We don't recommend other changes other than index to inflation in the future and having them uncoupled from the governor's salary.
Mr. Hubinger, can you comment on that? I see where they're going, and we've got enough time here. We don't need to worry exactly about the drafting right now, but we can recess and come back and maybe have something drafted if we can all agree on what we're trying to do here. Might be the easiest way, so we don't have to worry too much about the drafting right at the moment. But if we decouple and use the existing starting point and index it to inflation, is what seems to be some support for here. Any comments or pros or cons you can add to the mix?
Mr. Chair, as a mechanism, I think that works. One thing I'd point out is that under Mr. Robbins' concept or language, he's talking about adjusting the range maximum every 2 years. Under current law, that's adjusted every year. And
I don't care. We can drop the 2 years. I don't.
Probably the less change from current law, the better chance we have of getting something adopted.
Let's drop the every 2 years.
Let's plan on doing that.
Sure.
That's kind of the consensus.
Sure.
All right, any other discussion about that? Or people disagree with, anybody disagree with
we that? Haven't really moved it.
No, I know. I'm just trying to, and I'm going to continue before we get a motion here. It's still fluid a bit, but get some discussion going. If there's some opposition to it or good other ideas to add to it. Why don't we then lay that over for a few minutes here and see if we have any other discussions, and then we can maybe get some time to draft a little bit and bring it back and have a formal motion or something and see where we are so we get it done right. How's that for an approach?
That's good. I promise this is my second amendment if you're moving on to a second and only additional amendment.
Well, we have copies of that also then. Staff is doing a good job of giving us all copies and things. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, can I ask a procedural question? Typically, when the council makes recommendations that would change the statutes, do we offer statutory changes representing what our recommendations are?
That I don't know the answer to. I don't think so.
Okay.
And
Greg is shaking his head that that's right.
That's correct.
We do not, so we don't need to get the exact wording. So,
Mr. Robbins, you want to explain your amendment number two?
And this would not apply to us having to serve next year. I'm talking about in the future. I'm recommending that we ask the legislature to consider shifting the appointment of this council 1 year out. This would replace the recommendation related to this coming fiscal year versus, I mean, biennium versus 2021. If we move it to the out year, this group can finish its work immediately after the November forecast, and that's the basis for the governor's budgeting. You get your recommendations seen at the appropriate time, closer to when the budget is set. As we all recognize, the having to estimate 30 months from now doesn't make much sense, but also weighing in too close, given that there are two councils meeting, given that all of the caucuses have done their budget proposals, we're coming in too late for the current biennium. So I picked the warm porridge, not the cold or the hot. I think we can also do a much fuller consideration if we're meeting over a somewhat longer period of time than the 3 months that were allotted. I do think it has, and this is a very minor consideration, a little bit of a advantage to the LCC staff in that I think moving us to a even year would be moving some work over to the out years, which really are less legislatively intense. Is it clear? Or I'm getting some kind of what the heck are you talking about?
I think I know what you're talking about, but it would be lovely if you had a whiteboard and you could say, here's the current biennium, here's where we meet, here's where we fit into that time schedule, here's what you're recommending. Because I think I understand what you're trying to do ideologically, I guess, or theoretically, but I don't get it in terms of times.
Okay, well, the appointment, let's say we would have had this in place. We would have been appointed a year later. And I know some of us, for instance, probably thought about getting on the salary council and then kind of saw, well, maybe I won't get on that. I'll look at the compensation council. So you're staggering it a year later, so you'd be would have been appointed, towards the end of 2017 to be serving probably you wouldn't start right away necessarily. You could be March to November, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Maybe just meeting once a month, but having more time to kind of ponder what you're doing and have maybe more intent, more intensive testimony and background. You would undoubtedly do preliminary recommendations, but you would probably want to wait until the November forecast comes out, which comes out at the very end of the month, frankly. But it would just basically allow you to say, okay, it fits into the upcoming budget cycle because that forecast is the basis of preliminary budget setting in the following year, and at least you'll have done your work before the Legislative Salary Council starts in 2019.
So let me translate that.
All right.
So if this would have been in effect, we would have been appointed maybe at the end of 2017, start maybe deliberating during 2018. The forecast would come out late November 2018, and we'd probably be wrapping up our recommendations and that sort of thing for implementation on July 1 of 2019. So we'd have a closer time from our recommendations to the enactment if it was adopted, meaning that we would have better economic data, cost of living data, whatever information we need to account for in order to make our recommendations more.
And critically, the condition of the state budget.
Right.
You'd be knowledgeable about which has impacted recommendations from us in the past.
Is that about right?
That's exactly right.
Mr. Chair, Mr. Robbins, if we start meeting, let's say, in March of the year, and then we move toward conclusions, so are you saying when the budget comes out, then we have to revise those conclusions?
Well, you usually have an idea heading into it based on monthly forecast updates, and you, especially in the last 4 or 5 years, you've had a pretty good indication that a storm is coming. Now, there's no guarantee of that, but it's become a fairly precise science, so you're going to have a pretty good idea in September and October what's coming in the November forecast. But yeah, it's not perfect.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Ludwig had a question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just a couple of comments. I was pleased that we need more currency with what we do. Looking now for 2 years out was problem, and I thought that the current effective dates took care of that issue of currency, that we're acting in within the budget year with the best information, and then we would like it to take effect on July 1st rather than 2 years from July 1st. So I think it took care of that. I thought, following, I think, some of the chair's views, we have less time to fill given our appointment than we may have should we be convened from March through sometime in November or till December 1st or something like that. And so I thought we acted expeditiously, and I wouldn't want to lose that and just meet for the sake of meeting. And I also liked the fact that we were aware of the budget situation or the character of the budget in the state, but our deliberations were primarily around equity or appropriate compensation or looking across it rather than a decision around the budget. And I think the House is the one where much of the, and with the governor's office, where much of that sits with respect to the conditions of the state or economic conditions and how that may impact specific changes that we might propose or any other organization or group might propose. So I'm satisfied with the present recommendation and think it is straightforward enough that it is likely to be approved. I think this is more complex, extends our time, and I think has some disadvantages in that way. And if we finished in December, we'd have less information to a certain extent about what the legislature is up to because they don't start till after the first of the year. So I'm opposed to the amendment for the change, I think. There is some merit to it, but I'm opposed to it.
Ms. Olson.
Well, I really want to echo Steve's comments. I think the Compensation Council's job is not primarily to determine the fiscal condition of the state. Obviously, there's a certain degree of reality that we self-impose in the process of making our recommendations, but that really the job of the council is to determine what's an appropriate compensation level. The legislature needs to decide how much can they fund, how much can the government fund. There's an element of agreement with changing the time frame. I think this is a really, we would need to present something in a in a simpler way, I think, to make it understood. If this group is having this much difficulty, or maybe it's just me understanding how this would work.
Other comments? I would add a little bit to that as I think about this, and I appreciate the work and the thought to do this, but this legislature in particular appears not too enthusiastic about citizen bodies doing things. There's bills in, whether they'll pass or not, we don't know. But whether it's the EPA or the regulations of the PUC, and the bill in to abolish the Environmental Quality Board, and that sort of thing. And I think that some legislators, and I think it's worth some thought by all legislators, how much do you want various councils, independent councils of citizens, doing things, and how much should the legislature be doing? And this kind of goes down that road a little bit that I got a hunch would meet with some objections as they thought about it. Some, but I don't know.
I can tell there's not enthusiasm, so I won't offer the amendment. I should mention, just as a courtesy, because I am a communications type person, and I may at some point offer an opinion, which would be personally my own. But when I was appointed, in my appointment letter, I did say that I felt that there's a question as to whether it makes sense to have two different councils existing. And so part of my thinking is related to the timing of what the ongoing Legislative Salary Council has done, and what that council, which will continue in existence, of course, could theoretically. So that's what went into my thinking, and it's not a reflection on this group or the staff or anything else. It's what my thinking was originally, and it may come out at some point. I just want to be very clear that I believe the council's done a great job, but I also still feel what I preliminarily indicated to the Chief Justice, I still feel that way.
Very, very appropriate comments, I think, made. So, any other than if they, you're going to, that will not be an amendment. We've had discussion about
no,
other withdrawn. Comments on that topic. Some time we can talk about it.
My two cents. Good thought behind it. I think the bifurcation, separating out legislators, was a stupid public policy decision, and I'd hate to see us further the idea that should stay that way. It's a decision to be decided by the legislature.
And perhaps now, maybe by the courts, given what's happened here. All right. Any other topics about the report itself now?
Mr. Chair, can I ask a question?
You certainly may.
For the a clarification and a question. For the salaries of the agency heads, so we're recommending that those are not tied to the governor's salary, correct?
That's what we're going to, what I want to do is I'm about to take a recess, I think, here. And we'll work and see if we can come up with some exact language for that right now. But that's, that was what the consensus, I think, clearly was.
Okay, and then just one other question. I apologize, I wasn't at the last meeting. Was there any discussion similar to what the option four was to do an evaluation of what the salaries of the agency heads, as it relates to their responsibilities? Was there any conversation about conducting an analysis on that to determine if their salaries are?
There had been a major study of that in 2013. There was some discussion about that, I think, but Kuminder, you
know. Mr. Chair, members, the 2013 council recommended a study of agency head salaries, and that was included in the legislation that was passed. Minnesota Management Budget contracted with an independent consultant and had that study done by the Hay Group. And it's a 300-page report that's available online.
Okay.
So that was done recently and resulted in some significant changes that the legislature adopted, is kind of the bottom line, I think.
Thank you.
So, any other questions or things about the report? If not, well, then let's take a 10-15 minute recess here, and we can try to, and people can welcome to huddle around here a little bit and see if we can come up with some good language on that agency head thing. And then we'll be in a position, if we can do that, I think, to adopt the report and get Mr. Meyerson back on the road before he has to hit that heavy traffic again.
And get us out into the sunshine since we have some today.
Oh, all right. So with that, we'll take a 10-minute recess.
You're fine.